Klay Thompson, no trouble for the Toronto Raptors as they take a 2-1 lead in the NBA Finals. He came to LSU with a lot of fanfare and a lot of numbers. Now he's entering the transfer portal. And we're 2 weeks away from the NBA draft. We'll find out what the Celtics might want to offer to get AD. All these stories and more today, Thursday, June the 6th, 2019.
Down low to Leonard. On Steph Curry. Going to go to work. Backs him in. Floats it up and in with the left hand. Ring the bell. School is in. Toronto up 111-94. Leonard now. Guarded by Curry. Crosses over. Splits the double. Gets it to Van Vliet. Three in the air. Good! Freddie hoisted it up near the clock, and it went down straight through the bottom of the well, as clean as a whistle. Toronto up 118-105.
Curry, crossover dribble, down the lane, foul line one-hander, knocked it down, and a new playoff career high. For Steph Curry, he's got 45 points. But Golden State still down double digits.
And they would lose by double digits. Good afternoon and welcome. This is the Jordy Helper Show. Thanks so much for dialing us up in whatever form or fashion that you do. Yours truly here, Studio 1A, the stick that stirs the drink. My main man, CD, back in the 237 Roof Studios Master Control Suite, spinning the tunes, pushing all the buttons, making sure everything runs smoothly. Steph Curry did have a playoff career high, 47 points to go along with 8 rebounds, 7 assists, 2 steals, and only 3 turnovers in 43 minutes. But one cannot beat a collective 5, and Steph didn't have much help along the way, as Golden State falls to the Toronto Raptors 123-109. Toronto, every time the Warriors would make a run, they'd knock down a three. They shot 52% from the field, 45% from behind the arc, and made 20 of 21 free throws, 95.2%, to get the win. And now they lead 2-1. In the best of seven series, no Klay Thompson, no Kevin Durant, and now with game three, with all the pressure in the world on Toronto, knowing that those players weren't going to be playing for Golden State, it was a must win for the Raptors. They got it done. Game four becomes a must win for the Golden State Warriors. And we will talk much more about that game. Let me give you our guest list today. In this hour, we told you yesterday the newest members of the New Orleans Saints Hall of Fame. The second overall pick in that 2006 draft class, Reggie Bush. And the fourth from the end, the 255th overall pick, that wide receiver from little-known Hofstra, Marcus Colston. And then Kathleen Blanco, the former governor of our state, is going to receive an award for her off-the-field contributions. We'll be joined by the general manager of the Saints Hall of Fame, our good friend Ken Trahan, to talk about it. And I think when I look back at it, and I'll ask Ken this, Reggie Bush was a great player. I mean, Heisman Trophy winner, the most electric player coming out of college football. I believe that what Reggie Bush did for a fan base emotionally far outweighed what he accomplished on the field. And he had some great games. My goodness gracious. Some great games. But I believe, coming off of Katrina, that Reggie Bush gave that city something to grab a hold of, something to take their mind off of the reality that they faced every day. How are we going to rebuild this house? What are we going to do? So many of our friends have left. They're never coming back. A city that needed a bright light, something to hold on to hope for, to take their mind off of reality. And that's what Reggie Bush did. He really did. It was spectacular what he provided. And so we'll talk to Ken Trahan about that. In hour number two, Hot Topics with my main man, CD. We are 2 weeks away from the NBA draft. David Griffin is fielding questions, fielding offers for Anthony Davis. I think it's quite apparent that AD wants out. And so now David Griffin trying to come up with the best deal he can for a top 10 NBA player. They're very hard to get. And it should demand a king's ransom to get him from you. And so that's what he's trying to work out. Nick Lance is all things Boston with the Celtics. And we'll share his thoughts on what he thinks Danny Ainge, David Griffin's counterpart for the Celtics, will offer for Anthony Davis. Because they've always been there. They've always let it be known that they wanted Anthony Davis. Now's their opportunity to see what they want to pony up, and if David Griffin likes it, and if a deal can be made. Grant Hughes, our friend, the lead NBA writer for Bleacher Report, lives out in San Francisco's area. He will join us in hour number two as well at around 3:30 to recap Game 3, talk about Game 4, and all the things with it. Boy, how good was Steph Curry last night? Goodness gracious. With no Klay Thompson and no Kevin Durant, they don't have any other shooters besides Steph Curry. And I think, albeit in a loss, and with so many incredible games that he's had a part in, I thought it was his best offensive game I've ever seen. 47 points. As the Toronto defense was geared up to try and stop him, and he dribbled his way around and through traffic and found a way to get shots. He was aggressive, taking the ball to the basket, got to the free throw line, and of course knocked down threes. I thought he was terrific. But Toronto gets the win. Another headline for the day. He came to LSU with much fanfare and incredible numbers. It had to be the system that worked for Jonathan Giles. He came to Texas Tech, came from Texas Tech to LSU after leading the Red Raiders with 69 catches for 1,158 yards and 13 touchdowns in 2016. He had to sit out the 2017 season, but all we heard about from Coach O was how good this guy was on the scout team. Well, there was no pressure. And the scout team does one thing, and the starters are half lollygagging through it. So he comes up to LSU, and he's ready to play, and Coach O gives him that number 7 jersey that goes to LSU's biggest playmaker. And we kept waiting, and we kept waiting. What's up with Giles? What is it? 5 games into the season, he had one less catch than the amount of games he played in. He only had 4 catches for 20 yards. Coach O tried to get into his head, say, change numbers. What's your favorite number? He said, I'll wear number 12. Well, that didn't work. Giles finished the season with 10 catches for 59 yards. He's set to graduate this summer. He's on pace. He could transfer as an immediately eligible grad transfer. He was one of the, and I hope he goes to a school where he can fit in and that does the things that they did for him at Texas Tech, because it just didn't work. And again, they play no defense in that league. They kind of play defense in the SEC. just goes to show you. So we wish Jonathan Giles the very, very best of luck in his future endeavors. It's just not going to happen here at LSU. It's just not. Two teams coming in red hot. The Super Regional. LSU is 40-24. They've won 10 of their last 13 games. They're healthier than they've been all season. Florida State's won 8 of their last 11. They were dominating in the Athens Regional as they upset number 4 seeded national seed and the homestanding Georgia Bulldogs twice by a combined score of 22-4. They both hit as a team 274 on the season. They're both very, very similar in what they do. LSU scored 429 runs this year. FSU, 420. ERAs, LSU's a 4.66. FSU's a 4.61. You can't get much closer than this. You just can't. Should be an outstanding series. Again, tickets go on sale to the public Friday at 8 a.m. You got to buy the whole booklet. You can't buy individual games. It's not that expensive. $30 will get you a ticket. As LSU looks to pack the house once again. So we'll talk about that. Mondo Duplantis, well, didn't get the sweep, but still had a great NCAA outdoor meet. Came in second in the pole vault yesterday. So now we'll see what happens to him. He said the great best decision he ever made was to come to LSU and not to go pro. We'll see if that loss keeps him around for another year or if he decides to go and get after it and make an incredible living doing the pole vault, which means traveling in Europe an awful lot. Maybe he likes the team, the camaraderie, the familiarity, and maybe he thinks I need to get bigger, better, stronger before I go conquer the world. We shall see. We shall see. All right. We'll take our first time out of the day. When we come back, more on Game 3 of the NBA Finals. Steph Curry was terrific, but he couldn't get it done by himself. Kawhi Leonard with another 30-point game, but it was the Kyle Lowry's, the Van Fleet's, the Marc Gasol's that did the Warriors in. We'll talk about it next on the Jordy Helfrich Show on Acadiana's number one sports station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
Topics and dousing them in gasoline. It's the Jordy Hultberg Show on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game.
All right, we're back. Hope you're a little bit more high and dry now than you were earlier. Man, I tell you what, the streets get flooded in a hurry when the rain comes pouring down as it does. So I hope everybody is safe. I hope nobody tried to do crazy things. There's so many cars that try to get through the water and they end up getting stalled. It's just miserable. It's awful. I hope everybody is safe and sound. CD back in the master control suite, taking care of business. 123-104, the final score as the Raptors win Game 3 of the NBA Finals. And again, they have done it by the greatness of Kawhi Leonard, but they get so much help from their others. And they really, really played well. No question about that. Nick Nurse, the head coach of the Raptors, talked about Game 3 and the win of his team on the road against the Warriors.
We tried to play with more pace up the court, and we tried to play with more pace in the half court. I thought you just saw a lot more cutting, passing, obviously 30 assists. You saw a lot more shots go in. That, you know, that helps, right? When we did struggle tonight to stretch offensively, we just bogged down a little bit, got the ball kept on the side, and we couldn't get it out of there a few times. But we just tried to keep it a little bit more in the middle of the floor, and we tried to hit the open man and get off it. I think we passed the ball a lot better tonight.
Every time the Warriors would make a run, invariably Toronto would knock down a three. They had 17 made threes in the game, and they made 20 of 21 free throw attempts. You're not going to lose many games like that. Steve Kerr talked about the elephant in the room, why they didn't play Klay Thompson.
The whole point was to not risk a bigger injury that would keep him out of the rest of the series. So that was the decision we made. I feel very comfortable with it. Never would have forgiven myself if I played him tonight and he had gotten hurt. You make a wise decision, the wisest one you can, then you live with it and you move forward. The good thing is Klay has done well the last 2 days. Now he's got another couple of days to heal. Hopefully he'll be out there Friday.
Game four Friday back at Oracle Arena. They'll be without one fan. Warrior investor sitting on the front row. Loose ball. Kyle Lowry goes into the seats, and Mark Stevens pushes Kyle Lowry. And Lowry talked about the fan touching him.
You know, he had no reason to touch me. He had no reason to reach over two seats and then say some vulgar language to me. There's no place for people like that in our league. And, you know, hopefully he never comes back to an NBA game.
Couldn't agree more with you, Kyle Lowry. Just because you buy those seats doesn't mean you have the right to do that. You'd never touch a player. It's just inexcusable, and the Warriors will boot him out, and he'll never be back again. Mark Stevens will not attend any games. He's a team executive. He should know better. Steph Curry was brilliant. 47 points, and did everything in his power to help the Golden State Warriors. Nick Nurse, the coach of the Raptors, talked about how they tried to defend and slow down Steph.
I mean, listen, we were trying to play as straight up as we could. We wanted to get back to doing, you know, what we normally do. We didn't do anything really early in the game other than just try to play him. He had a ton in the first half. We tried to up our presence on him a little bit with some double teams. All that matters, my dad used to tell me, the stats don't matter, just the final score. So we'll just take the win, be thankful for that.
There you go. Steph Curry realizes now game four is so important, and he says the moment is now.
It's no secret that we're a little injury plague now, and you know, guys, you know, trying to just find a way back to the court. The moment is now. You got to try to have next man up mentality, like we always say, and just go out and fight. We did that tonight. We can play better, obviously, but I like the competitiveness that we had. Understanding, you know, like we're missing 50 points pretty much between KD and Klay, so we'll adjust. It's a long series. It's gonna be fun for us.
Nobody's crying for the Golden State Warriors. I can promise you that. I can promise you that. He just heard him say it's going to be fun. Draymond Green, who is kind of the glue to the team. Now, he makes turnovers. He gets a little bit high octane and speed coming down the floor, and he makes some ill-advised passes, but he fights and he battles and he plays hard. And he says, hey, don't worry, fun times are ahead.
You know, no one cares if guys are hurt. Everybody wants to see us lose. So I'm sure people are happy they're hurt. We just got to continue to battle. Win the next game, go back to Toronto, win game five, come back to Oracle, win game six, and then celebrate. Fun times ahead.
Fun times are ahead. Okay, all right. Steve Kerr, played with Michael Jordan, saw the greatness that number 23 was throughout his career, and now he gets to watch Steph Curry do his thing as the coach of the Warriors, and he talked about the 47-point night that Curry put up.
The stuff he does is he does things that, honestly, I don't think anybody has ever done before. The way he plays the game, the way he shoots it, and the combination of his ball handling and shooting skills, it's incredible to watch. He was amazing.
Truly was. So game four coming up Friday. And I think that the Klay Thompson injury is going to have to come from the medical staff of the Warriors. They're going to have to determine if he is good to go. Kevin Durant, I think that's a Kevin Durant choice. And he's a free agent. And he's got a lot to lose if he re-injures it. However, you don't get many of these opportunities. And it's kind of funny that we're at the point now where we all said, well, I can't believe that KD's joining this team, the team that they couldn't beat. He's just buying his way, going to get a check for championships. And now maybe for the first time in his time as a Warrior, the Warriors and fans are saying, we need Kevin Durant to win this NBA Finals. So he went from the guy that already joined the championship team to the guy that is needed to get another championship. And it'll be interesting to see what happens along the way as far as when this season comes to an end. But look, right now the Warriors have no margin for error. You can rest in the offseason, Kevin Durant. You can rest in the offseason, Klay Thompson. You can rest in the offseason, Kevin Looney. I mean, if you're able to walk, you got to go play. These NBA championships are hard to come by, and you go through a whole litany of games throughout the season. You got to go play. You got to go play. So I expect game four of them to all be out there playing. And to what effectiveness? Look, 70% Kevin Durant is way better than Sean Livingston, a healthy Sean Livingston, a healthy Jordan Bell, and anybody else that's out there. Heck, 60% is better. So we shall see. Great players, one and all. The Saints are inducting two of their greatest players, Reggie Bush and Marcus Colston. They both came in the 2006 draft. Reggie Bush, second player overall in the first round. Marcus Colston, nearly the underappreciated. He was the fourth last pick in the entire draft. They're both going into the Saints Hall of Fame. Ken Trahan, the general manager of the Saints Hall of Fame, will share the stories about both of them when we return. This is the Jordy Helper Show, brought to you by Hooters on Ambassador Caffrey Parkway. Wear your uniform. Bring your team in. Get 40 free wings, boneless wings. Just got to have six of you in your unis, and Hooters will treat you to some boneless wings. You can't beat that deal. And watch baseball tonight at Hooters on Ambassador Caffrey Parkway, where you're just going to be happy because Hooters guarantees to make you happy. We'll be back with Ken Trahan next.
Never play cards with a guy whose last name is Estate. Don't spit into the wind. And always get your sports talk from the Jordy Hultberg Show. Live and local. 103.7 The Game.
Oh, 13 years ago was a remarkable time for the New Orleans Saints. It was a draft class, getting a quarterback, getting a coach, and getting over Hurricane Katrina. To talk about the newest class of the Saints, New Orleans Saints Hall of Fame, the class of 2019, is the general manager of the Saints Hall of Fame, the busiest man on the planet. And a resume that I would take up our whole radio show and then some. But he's terrific and a friend of our program, the great Kenny Trahan, kind enough to join us. Ken, thanks for the time, my friend. How are you?
Hey, Jordy, doing fine. Thanks for the kind words. Overblown, but appreciated.
No, it's so true. We have something in common. We're both very fortunate to be in the De La Salle Cavalier Hall of Fame. I just realized that. So congratulations to you, brother.
Yeah, I love my Christian brother friends that have. Listen, I was Christian Brothers educated at Rummel, and we share so many different people that worked at both schools, the Christian Brothers themselves, who were great friends of mine, and I became very close to everyone at De La Salle and working with them for many years and still do, doing a lot of their games and helping them with a number of initiatives and serving on committees and such, and I just deeply appreciate the school itself, the history, and what they've done, and And again, it was really an honor. Of course, with you, that was a no-brainer. And, you know, all need to do is watch. All we need to do is watch you shoot it, and we knew that, so that's all good.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. But 2006, let's start with the first pick, Reggie Bush. I believe in my heart of hearts. Look, Reggie Bush was an unbelievable talent. But I think his best, his greatest attribute to the New Orleans Saints was the fact that he brought hope to that city. He gave that city something to hang on to after Katrina, when they drafted the Heisman Trophy winner. I thought that overshined everything he did on the field. Are you in agreement or disagreement of that?
Oh, there's no question about it. I thought his arrival was at a perfect time. I mean, this was a very devastated place, so many different aspects, and everything just kind of, the confluence of things that occurred just brought it together, and the Saints played such an incredible role. Kathleen Blanco doing what she did to get this building fixed here against popular opinion around the state, and then, of course, Doug Thornton doing the same from SMG. Of course, the Saints hiring Sean Payton, getting Drew Brees, and then the draft came around, and everybody assumed the Texans would pick Mario Williams. I mean, would pick Reggie Bush, and instead they picked Mario Williams. And once that happened, the door, it was a no-brainer. Sean Payton said yesterday, he and Mickey Loomis jumped all over Bush. And I remember that night when the announcement was made at the function of the facility and how crazy the fans went. I mean, it was like, you just won the lottery, and everything's going to be great. You're going straight to heaven, the whole deal. And then season tickets, like, went nuts. I mean, just because of this guy being drafted, they had a sellout that year for the first time in several years for every game. And, of course, the Saints have been sold out ever since. So just start there. I mean, that's the significance of what getting Bush meant to this franchise.
And it was a city looking for anything to take its mind off of reality and real life and rebuilding. They were looking for anything that they would give them some hope, and that was Reggie Bush.
Yeah, no doubt. Look, that was, there's no question that that was accurate. Yeah. You know, fans knew who he was. He was the most popular player in the country. He was a Heisman Trophy winner, played for a national champion, and all of that. He was, of course, a gregarious guy, was very personable. So everybody could gravitate to him personally, aside from his professional exploits. And, of course, when he came here, he performed very well and was obviously a very integral part of the Super Bowl championship team. So, look, obviously the thing hit perfect, and you know it was a blessing to New Orleans at a time when New Orleans really needed a blessing.
No question. And he had the perfect coach because Sean Payton then was like the Sean McVay now. Nobody had seen him do things like this and how they used Reggie Bush. And then there's this unknown – I can remember vividly Marcus Colston. I said, who in the heck is Marcus Colston? And I didn't even know Hofstra had a football program.
Yeah.
Well, I soon found out they did, and I soon found out that son of a gun, the fourth to last pick in the 255-player draft, turned out to be the steal of all time.
That's a fantastic pick. I mean, that was an unbelievable draft the Saints had that year. They got Jari Evans in the fourth round. He's one of the best guards in NFL history to go along with all the others, but Colston was quite a story. I mean, you got Bush out of USC, Glamour, California, Heisman Trophy winner. You got Colston, who's the nicknamed the Quiet Storm, a guy that hardly ever talked from the school that nobody's ever heard from in the Northeast. And, you know, so it was the ultimate dichotomy when you look at the two guys, but to see the way the performance was incredible. Colston came to camp, and as Peyton talked about yesterday, at the rookie camp, he did nothing right. Saints had drafted a wide receiver the round before him by the name of Mike Haas, who was the Bulletproof Award winner out of Oregon State. And he was the guy that was shining in rookie camp and that they were all talking about. Colston was an afterthought and figured, oh, he'll be out of here in no time. Well, then, of course, mini camp started, and all of a sudden Colston, as Peyton said yesterday, started making birdies and pars every day. You couldn't help but notice him, and the rest is history. He got the opportunity, and the thing that really defined him was his unbelievable consistency. Just year after year, just an incredibly consistent player. You know, seventh all-time in touchdown receptions with one quarterback in NFL history, that being Drew Brees. And, of course, those two made magic together. Colston is, aside from that, just a tremendous person. He's one of the finest people you'll ever meet in your life. And, of course, obviously, it was a great story coming from Hofstra and doing what he did for the Saints for so many years.
Ken Trahan, kind enough to join us, the general manager of the Saints Hall of Fame, the boss at Crescent City Sports, amongst the gazillion things that he does. I was so pleased and happy that former Governor Kathleen Blanco was there. She joins the star-studded class. She's going to get the Joe Gemelli Fleur-de-Lis Award for her off-the-field contributions to the club. And you mentioned that spearheading the post-Katrina renovation of the just in poor condition Superdome. I don't know what she's been doing. I know she basically was in hospice, so I had no idea. Yeah, I'm thrilled that she was there.
Well, it's truly she's a person of faith, and most people of faith, including myself, do believe in blessings, and it's almost miraculous to be there because you're right. She was in hospice, and everybody expected she wouldn't be long for this earth. Maybe a month or less. Yeah. She started feeling better, but more than that, she was determined to be here. And when I got that call last week and her daughter telling me, I think we can make it, it's day to day, it could change, but I was ecstatic. And obviously, we did everything we could to accommodate her. And when she got there and walked in, she looked great. She was unbelievable in what she had to say, gracious as can be. And it really transcends politics. It doesn't make any difference whether you're a conservative, a liberal, a Republican, a Democrat. Right. What she did played an incredible role in saving this football team for New Orleans. Without her doing what she did, we might not be having this conversation. Because if they did not fund getting that building repaired, the Saints would have left in all likelihood. So she played an incredible role. And for those that are negative about politics or don't like somebody in politics being honored, get over it. This has nothing to do with politics and nothing to do with what party you belong to or anything else. It's about somebody doing something for the greater good. And when I tell you she did something for the greater good, consider this. It cost her her political career.
It sure did.
Re-election because she was so unpopular in other parts of the state because she funded a stadium in New Orleans.
Yes.
Well, she saw the big picture. She knew what the Saints not only meant to this community and region and to jobs, but also to the state. And I think history has proven her to be correct, whether or not she lost her political career or not. So I have a lot of admiration for what she did at that time. And it makes no difference what party you belong to or who you vote for or anything else. Without her, you wouldn't have this conversation today.
Very well said, my friend. Ken Trahan, general manager of the Saints Hall of Fame. When are the actual induction ceremonies going to take place?
October 25th, Friday night, 7 p.m. That's at the Club 44 at Champion Square with probably 25 to 30 restaurants there, as usual. And, of course, a ton of our alumni from all over the country that will be there. And the induction will take place at the gala that night. And, Kathleen said yesterday she's determined to be there. I mean, if she does that, she really will defy the odds and people will start believing in miracles. That's all I can say. But we're looking forward to it. We presented her the award yesterday for obvious reasons because, we can't count on the fact that she would be there in October. But I told her yesterday, you're planning to be here. Simple. Just bring the Fleur-de-Lis Award back with you and we'll give them the suspension to see you again. That's all. And she laughed. And she said, yeah, absolutely will. So, all good. And then Bush and Colson were nothing but class. And it's a great class. Very popular. People are obviously extremely excited about this. And so are we.
On a side note, we saw the new look Sean Payton. What happened there with the haircut? What is that all about?
I guess he figured summer's arriving and it's hot as hell. So he decided he was going to try to get a little cooler. I don't know. I didn't ask him. But, when we were, I was hosting the honorees in the atrium before we brought him into the media conference room. All of a sudden, he came walking in, and some of the people in there didn't even recognize him. And so it was topical. But having said that, that's a new look for sure, So I guess he's getting ready for the summer months. I don't know.
Think about that draft class. Six players would play 10-plus years in the NFL. Yeah. Reggie Bush, Colston, Roman Harper, Jahri Evans that you mentioned, Rob Ninkovic, Zach Streif. Wow. Wow. I mean, we had the Kamara and Smith draft and all that, right? But that's a pretty good one right there.
Oh, to me, that was the best. I mean, the 1982 draft was incredible. The 1986 draft was amazing. And And then, of course, the two you just mentioned were fantastic. I mean, when you look at the players they got in those drafts, I mentioned it. That's why they, you know, they built the core of their first winning team in 87 with the first two I mentioned. And then, of course, the others built the core of a Super Bowl championship team. So, look, I mean, it's no secret to being successful in the NFL. You win because you draft well. And you can build around those players, and you can control those players for at least 4 years. That's how you win. The Saints, of course, did that incredibly well in 2006.
Think about that. Bush, Colston, Breeze, and Sean Payton. That's not a bad way to get things going. It's a miracle. It really is. And, Ken, I can't thank you enough. You truly, all kidding aside, you are an institution to the sporting world in the city of New Orleans. Thank you for all you do and the time that you give of yourself for others. You're the best, and I can't thank you enough for spending some time with us.
It's always a pleasure, Jordy. Thanks for having me.
Okay, buddy, you take care. Ken Trahan, Crescent City Sports, it's must-read material, and the general manager of the Saints Hall of Fame with the newest members of the class to be, Reggie Bush, Marcus Colston. Not bad. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back with more here on the Jordy Helpert Show.
The Blonde Bomber is back and better than ever as you are locked into the Jordy Helfert Show on 103.7 The Game, 103.7thegame.com, and on the app.
Welcome back. 49 minutes after the hour on this Thursday edition of the Jordy Helfert Show. And if I'm learning this Twitter stuff, and I saw come across the line a little hold that tiger from Coach Ed Orgeron, which means he's got another commitment. I said, we got to get Mike Scarborough on of TigerBait.com to find out what's going on. So, Mike, who's the latest commitment in the Orgeron class of 2020? Excuse me.
That's Major Burns from Madison Prep Baton Rouge, and he's a really good one. Of course, he committed to Texas A&M back early in the spring. LSU offered him. 5 days later, he decommitted from Texas A&M. Made some things interesting with official visits to Florida and Oklahoma. You know, it was pretty obvious ever since that LSU offer that the LSU was in the driver's seat. I think Corey Raymond and the staff really did a good job. He's a high four-star cornerback, about 6'2 and a half, 185 pounds, real long arms. Sometimes it looks like he's beat on a play in coverage, and those long arms that he's got just really make up a lot of ground for him. And I know they're excited to have him, and that gives them 16 commitments for the class of 2020.
Wow, amazing. I'm going to just compare everything to the number one cornerback that they just signed that's going to compete this year, and that's Derek Stingley Jr. What separates a Stingley, a five-star, from a high four-star and a Major Burns? What's the difference between the two?
Well, I just think Stingley's got a little bit more of that difference maker it factor. He's also a special teams return guy. Okay. He's also, he's going to be faster in the 40. But I mean, look, they're all different types. You can have a Patrick Peterson, and you can have a different guy on the other side, like the kid from Eunice years ago. And that's kind of who he reminds me of, and now the name's escaping me. But the thing about, I'll say about Major Burns, I know some people think he might be a safety at the next level. I think he can play all three spots. He can be corner, he can be a safety, he can play nickel. So I think he'll be very versatile for LSU.
I like the fact that he's 6'2 and a half with some of the receivers you have to go against. I like that size factor.
Yeah, he's got real long arms, and he's also got a little brother that's a heck of an athlete. Won the 40-yard dash time at the opening in Theodore Knox, who's a 2021 kid. It's Southern Lab. That's his brother. So he's a kid that's going to be highly recruited already and more so in the coming years. So that could be a positive for LSU getting Major on campus.
Mike Scarborough, TigerBait.com. We've heard all these names from Maryland and from California and from all these other places. It's good to get a kid from the state of Louisiana. Where does he rank statewide in your book?
I think he's right there inside. He might be top five. I think he's right there.
Okay.
Probably the top cornerback in the state of Louisiana for this year, which is saying a lot with all the great athletes that this state puts out every year. So, no, he's a big one, and everybody wanted him. He was at Alabama earlier this week for an unofficial visit, got a lot of people nervous, him tweeting out pics in a Bama uniform in a tunnel of Bryant Denny. So, yeah, it's a real nice pickup for LSU, and they're rebuilding that cornerback position in a hurry. He went from last year needing a grad transfer to – all of a sudden you're going to have all the numbers you need built back up again.
They just had, and we talked to you about this, they just had the offensive line, defensive line camp. They had the skill position camp. Here comes the commitment.
You got five official visitors this weekend, too.
Tell me about those five, if you don't mind.
Yeah, you got E.J. Williams, wide receiver from Phoenix City Central. Of course, same high school as Peter Parrish, LSU's freshman quarterback, who just arrived on campus last week.
Okay.
Kendall Milton, the five-star running back from Texas. You've got Cole Taylor, a tight end from Colorado that I know they're really excited about, and they do want two tight ends in this class. You got Marco Domio, another cornerback, a JUCO kid, 6'2", okay. 190, that a lot of schools highly covet. And then a big defensive end that I wrote a story on yesterday that's on the front page of Tiger Bait. Allie Gay from Garden City Community College, originally signed with Washington out of college. He was an academic qualifier, and now he's at Garden City Community College. He's about 6'6", 280 pounds. He looks like a bigger Isaiah Buggs, and I know they would really love to have him. Coach Dennis Johnson and Coach LaCouture. Of course, Christian LaCouture is the GA on the staff.
Right,
I know
right.
Those guys are hot after this junior college defensive end. We have some footage of him on the site where he's just a beast. So they continue to roll in impressive official visitors early. It's taking some getting used to seeing all these official visits taking place in the spring and early summer.
Maybe they'll bring these kids to the box and watch a little baseball and see what a crazy crowd looks like, I guess. Why not?
Well, yeah, I mean, a few weeks ago they brought the five-star offensive lineman, Paris Johnson. They brought him to Tiger Stadium for Bayou Country Superfest.
All right. Always available. Thank you so much. So Major Burns, top cornerback in the state, and a really good get, high four-star. Who knows, he may flip and become a five-star before it's all said and done. But good news for Ed Orgeron, and hold that Tiger. That's always a good sign. Thank you, Michael.
Yeah. All right, Jordy, thanks for having me. Talk soon.
All right, you got it. Mike Scarborough, TigerBait.com. So they keep getting these cornerbacks. I mean, there's something to this DBU. It's kind of amazing. Got to get those big ones up front, though, too. And I'm not counting Coach O out. He is a relentless, never sleep, never rest recruiter. And that's what it takes. He ain't no dummy. If he's learned one lesson, you can be the greatest coach in the world. You don't have the horses. You're not going to beat the teams you have to play in this league to get where you want to go. So commitment number 16, 247 Sports Composite now has LSU listed as the number two ranked recruiting class in the country, leapfrogging Alabama at this point in time. So wait and see. Still a lot of work to be done and a lot of things to close. So you could have a pair of starting cornerbacks named Derek Stingley and Major Burns at some point in time in the future. Yeah, pretty good stuff. All right, our number one is history. Come on back. Hour number two. We got a lot of NBA talk, Pelicans, Celtics, game three of the finals, plus hot topics. This is the Jordy Helfrich Show on Acadiana Sports Station, the number one station. 103.7 The Game, 1037thegame.com. Come on back.
Live from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
Tigers pulled off another miracle.
This is Acadiana Sports Station, 1037 The Game.
Touchdown, New Orleans.
Streaming live on the 1037 The Game mobile app and online at 1037thegame.com.
He struck him out, and the Tigers have won.
This is the Jordy Hultberg Show. Get involved and call 337-706-0111. Follow along at 1037 The Game on Facebook and Twitter. And now it's time. Here's your host, Jordy Hultberg.
It's hour number two of two, and away we go on this Thursday, June the 6th. Thanks so much for making us a part of your afternoon, CD, in the 237 Roof Studios. Making sure everything runs smoothly. Yours truly here, Studio 1A. If you're just joining us, LSU gets another commitment out there as Major Burns, cornerback, Madison Prep, high four-star, commits to LSU. That's commitment number 16. And just announced by Steve Kerr, Kevin Durant ruled out of game four of the NBA Finals. So no KD, waiting on KT, Klay Thompson, to see if he's going to make it to game four in a must-win scenario for the Golden State Warriors. We do it every day at this time of day. We take our daily walk around the sports water cooler, compliments of CD as he pushes that button.
Here's today's Hot Topics, brought to you by Cajun Chef. Spice up your life with Cajun Chef products. Delectably delicious. Decidedly better.
You high and dry, CD? You okay? I mean, got some bad... I mean, I saw a picture of a fireman jumping into the water as a car was vertical under the water, having to rescue a woman out of it. So nothing to laugh about. Serious yeah. business, but I hope you're all okay.
We're all good over here in the 237 Roof Studios. A lot of water kind of in and around, like outside of the studio, well yeah. outside. But trust me, it was definitely nasty, especially like in terms of the side streets where we're located nearby. A good chunk of that road wound up having to be barricaded off. Thankfully, the road to get into the studios was able to be travelable by the time I actually came in around noon.
There you go. All right, what you got for me today?
Oh, Jordy, we got a lot to get to. And, of course, you're talking about Kevin Durant. He's not going to be participating in Game 4. Looks like Klay Thompson will be, Jordy. But it got me thinking, can this Golden State Warriors team still have control of their own destiny when it comes to the NBA Finals? Because it feels like what we saw with the Toronto Raptors, it could be tough.
Oh, that's a very good team. I'm not counting on them making as many threes as they did and knocking down as many free throws as they did. Klay Thompson certainly opens up the court a little bit more, gives you another shooter that you can pass the ball to, and Steph Curry is going to try and get 50 again, plain and simple. I think they can win even the series again, give more time for Kevin Durant. It's not over yet, but if Toronto wins game four, ooh, that's trouble. Must-win time for Golden State.
Oh, it's must-win for Golden State, and it's surprising to kind of think about that because it felt like heading into the series, I think you want to probably give in the edge to the Golden State Warriors with or without Kevin Durant, but Klay Thompson, if he's not up to his game, you're going to have to see Steph Curry be a lot like Drew Brees during the years 2014 to 2016 where the world of Atlas is on his shoulders.
Absolutely, carrying the weight of the world, but look, he did it last night. And we'll see. He's not gonna do anything today but ice those legs and relax, do some cryotherapy, and just get ready to go come Friday. So quick turnaround.
It's gonna be interesting to see what happens on tomorrow night, Jordy. But of course, everybody else is talking about a lot of the stuff that happened off the court, Jordy. The pushing that part owner Mark Stevens did to Kyle Lowry that wound up getting him banned. I think we'll talk about that probably later on. But we also had Beyonce and the Warriors owner's wife, I guess. I have no idea who this person was before last night. It just feels like it's becoming a sideshow right now with the NBA Finals. Obviously, Drake making big headlines whenever it goes to the Great White North. And now you got this going on, Jordy. It's taken away from the heart of the game.
It's ridiculous. It's unnecessary. I don't know why. What Beyonce's doing involved in this thing, I have no clue on that one. So I don't know. Apparently, Jay-Z, her husband, talked to the Warriors owner's wife, and her reaction wasn't very good. She didn't kind of like that for some whatever reason. I don't get it, but it is a sideshow, and all it does is get their Q factors up even higher, because it's all about publicity, getting your name out there, getting it tweeted and going viral and all that stuff. I don't get it. That makes no sense.
It makes no sense, Jordy. Wound up kind of causing the wife to kind of get off of social media and deactivate it, because she really was just tired of it all, getting like pretty much every imaginable thing thrown her way through Instagram and through the DMs. People just need to get a life.
I mean, you don't tick off Beyonce, because she's got a whole bunch of followers,
she's
right?
Tons.
The queen bee. So you don't want to get involved in that.
You don't want to mess with the hive, Jordy. You're gonna get
burned.
That's
right. That's right. Anyway,
it's ridiculous, Jordy. But we're gonna move over. You talked at the end of the hour about Major Burns, which is a phenomenal name. But let's talk about the two commits so far for the 2020 class for LSU that have phenomenal names. Which one's better, Demon Clowney or Major Burns?
Oh, God. I like Major Burns. I just think that I'll always remember the coolest name out there. It used to be running back from Alabama called Major Ogilvy. Just something about the word Major. Major Applewhite, Major Ogilvy, now Major Burns. I like Major Burns. I like that one. But the other one's good, too.
Major Burns, just sound, if only he was a wide receiver, Jordy. Major Burns burning a trail for a touchdown.
You know,
Chris Blair would have tons of fun with that. Coach O, if you're listening. All right, Coach O, I need you to put him as a wide receiver for at least one play so we can hear Chris Blair make that call.
Major Burns down the field. I got you.
That would be amazing.
Very good. Yes, indeed. Yes,
way better indeed. Than matriculating the ball down the field.
We just had Scarborough on, Mike Scarborough, TigerBait.com. He said he's a high four-star LSU now with the number two ranked recruiting class as of right here, right now, for the class of 2020. Coach O's relentless. He's relentless about it, and that's what it takes.
It's going to be amazing to see what this 2020 class looks like, Jordy. We talk about all the hype that the 2019 class had. I mean, my goodness, this team's starting to build it up, and we could very well see this entire group, this entire program, start finally kind of trying to usurp the throne that Alabama's been holding for quite some time.
Every streak has to come to an end eventually, so hopefully sooner than later. CD, stay dry, my friend. Thank you so much. There's your hot topics for the day. All right, buddy. Brought to you by Cajun Chef, the best hot sauce on the planet. Do yourself a flavor. Bring a small bottle of Cajun Chef hot sauce with you wherever you go, because I'm telling you, everything tastes better with Cajun Chef on it. 2 weeks away from the NBA draft. David Griffin, the GM of the Pelicans, listening to offers. What do the Celtics have to offer? We'll talk to someone who may have a knowledge of the information next here on the Jordy Helfrich Show.
There's only one place you'll find all of the movers, the shakers, and Tigers newsmakers. And it's right here on the Jordy Helfrich Show on 103.7 The Game.
Welcome back. Game three in the books as Toronto gets the win at Oracle Arena with the shorthanded Golden State Warriors. It was, gee whiz, no Klay Thompson, no Kevin Durant, and we'll find out what their health status is and what happens. Game four is a quick turnaround on Friday. Toronto wins 123-109 to take a 2-1 lead in the best-of-seven series. Time to call on the expert, Grant Hughes, our good friend of the program, the lead writer of the NBA for Bleacher Report out there on the West Coast, and he's kind enough to join us today. Grant, good day, my friend. How are you?
I'm good. Trying to recover from a good one last night, actually.
Man, I tell you what, I don't have a dog in the fight. I just love watching Steph Curry play. I've never really seen him in that type of mode. I'm sure I'm wrong, but man, he was. He knew he was the only dog in the fight. Nobody else can shoot on that team but him. And boy, he did everything in his power to try and will that team to a win. Came up short, but man, you can't fault his effort.
Yeah, I mean, you said, not only did he know that, right? Not only did he know that it had to be him, and he had to get close to 50 for the Warriors to have a chance, but everybody else, everyone on Toronto knew that, and he still got 47, and he did it efficiently. So, we've seen him go off before. I mean, you don't win two MVPs unless, you know, you can get buckets like he did and like he does, but I'm not sure I can recall a time where almost every time down the floor. And he beat it several different ways. He scored at all three levels. He got to the foul. I mean, it's just, it's one of his most impressive performances in a career
really?
That has hundreds of them, you know?
Really? I thought the same thing. I'm like, my goodness, great. He's taken it upon himself. And again, like you said, he knew it. You knew it. I knew it. The Raptors knew it. And they still couldn't stop him. That was just, it kind of reminded me of Pistol Pete back in the days at LSU when everybody tried to stop him and they still couldn't do it. But the Raptors did, and I mean, it seemed like every time the Warriors made a push, the Raptors would hit a three. They were uncanny. I mean, you name them, you name the player, and they were knocking down threes.
Yeah, I mean, that's just a credit. As great as Curry was and as well, I think, as the Warriors played, you know, kind of all things considered under the circumstances. It's a credit to Toronto because they really did have that bucket when the lead was, say, 7 or 8 or even 6. They always got that bucket that made it
that
bumped it back to 9 or 10 or 11. And, you know, the Warriors kept coming. They kept trimming to single digits, and you felt like you'd seen this before where they were kind of breakthrough, and Toronto is just too good. And they, Toronto shot 50-40-90 last night as a team. So,
yes.
I mean, you cannot expect that going forward. And the Warriors, I think, have a lot of reason to be disappointed in the way they defended, especially in the first quarter. But, I mean, Toronto is just really good, and they can get you from every angle. This is the main thing I kind of took from last night is that, you know, the Warriors, most of the game, had two or three guys on the floor where when they got the ball, if you're the Raptors, you're thinking, okay, threat over, threat neutralized.
Yes.
Because Jonas Jurebko is not beating us. Sean Livingston's not beating us. DeMarcus Cousins is not beating us. But flip it, and the Raptors always have five guys out there that can beat you. And you know, Fred VanVleet, Pascal Siakam, goaltender, guys that can beat you across the lineup, and the Warriors just don't have that advantage right now.
Just great drafting and great scouting by the Raptors, Siakam and VanVleet. You're right. Livingston can't shoot a lick. I've never seen such a bad jump shot in my life.
He's always been reluctant. He's never been a guy that has been willing to stretch out the three. And his form, he shoots it way up above his head. His form lend itself to long-range shooting. But to me, I mean, I think he's going to retire. He's talked about it. Where you used to be able to count on him was he could defend three positions, even four, really effectively. And he, you know, with the exception of Jurebko and Cousins last night, I thought he was probably Golden State's least effective defender. And it hurt extra because the Warriors absolutely needed him to defend somebody, and he just couldn't do it. So, you know, age comes for everybody, and I think it's definitely shown up with Livingston all year.
I'm no genius, but I'm telling you, I cannot play DeMarcus. Please put Andrew Bogut in. At least Bogut can defend pick and rolls, and he gets in passing lanes, and he's smart out there. He's not going to score for you very often, but my goodness, I know game two was Boogie played really, really well, but my God, I just can't count on him.
No, I agree. Obviously, I think, you know, Bogut is extremely limited too. But the things that you need from that position, generally speaking, because you can't just dump it into Cousins and say get a bucket anymore. You can't trust him to reliably hit threes. All that stuff. You just give away way too much defensively with Cousins out there. He is so immobile and so hesitant to rotate, and it's just he's not a defender that ever got by on working well in a scheme and anticipating and any of that stuff. And so now that he can't move on top of it, I don't know that you can play him. And the Warriors have to play him, I think, because they don't trust Jordan Bell. Bogut right. can't play a lot of minutes, and they don't right. want Green playing center against these big lineups. So he's going to have to play, and I think he's going to keep hurting them.
He is Grant Hughes. Sidebar to the game last night was a team investor by the name of Mark Stevens, as Kyle Lowry went for a loose ball, just kind of shoved him. And that behavior, that you just can't have that. I don't know what the guy was thinking. I don't know if he had too many courtside cocktails. I have no idea, but he's gone, right?
Yeah, no, he won't be. The Warriors aren't going to let him sit courtside anymore. He's not going to be at any more finals games. And, you know, I think players and you know, everyone associated with both teams is fine with that, because yes. it's you know, there's a line, you can't cross it, and he crossed it big time. So yeah, there's no question he won't be around for the rest of this series at minimum.
That is crazy. I mean, and you talk about there's only 50,000 cameras out there, and he's caught right. red-handed. That's got to be an embarrassing moment for him. But anyway, we're talking with Grant Hughes, NBA feature writer for Bleacher Report. The big question now, Game 4 becomes so important on Friday. You know, you lose that when you're down 3-1 heading back to Toronto, and I got to believe – with 3 games left, that Kawhi Leonard has one super game in him to win the whole thing. So it becomes very important. So now the onus is on the health issues of Klay Thompson and Kevin Durant. So, Grant, what are you hearing about both of them?
Yeah, I mean, you got to have Game 4. I don't think there's any question now. And they played the long game, the Warriors did, with, you know, resting Klay. He would have played if it were up to him in Game 3. So if he doesn't play Game 4, I'd be stunned. Durant, I think Durant's still more up in the air, but if I'm the Warriors, he's got to play Game 4 too. I think that's less likely, certainly, than Thompson, but you can't drop both of these in Oakland and have any chance. You just, you know, the time for kind of caution, I think, you know, Game 3 maybe, but now it's do or die, I think, every game. So I think both need to play. I think Thompson will play.
I think Thompson is kind of like on the, you know, the team will decide for him. But I think Durant, it's Durant's decision. Does that make sense?
It may be. I mean, certainly, although interestingly, both he and Thompson are free agents, and they both have plenty to lose with an injury. But Thompson is just wired differently. Kerr said after Game 2 that, you know, if Klay was half dead, he'd say he was good to go. So not everybody has that same threshold. And, you know, you don't want to compare injuries. I think Durant's injury is serious. So, you know, when it first happened, everybody thought the worst. Right. So I think if Durant can play, he'll play. But I think the Warriors need him out there if he's 60%, just because, you know, that's 120% of Sean Livingston. So
No question. That's very, very well put. But what does Steve Kerr do now? Because when Durant left, boy, they were free-flowing. Ball was moving. Players were moving. When Durant's there, it's kind of, okay, we're going to move. But when in doubt, let's just get it to Durant and get out of his way. And things come to a kind of a screeching halt there. So Steve Kerr has got a dilemma on his hands.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I think, so maybe if Durant and Thompson are both limited, that makes the decision easier, because you can still just say, Steph, you're the man now. You do it again. Get us another 40-something. And instead of pitching out to Livingston or Yarebko or Andre Iguodala, you're going to be pitching out to Durant and Klay Thompson. And hopefully, and not hopefully, certainly they will shoot it better and command more defensive attention. So you could get away with playing the same way. But I get, like you say, you know, Durant's whole career has been different than that. He's going to want touches. He's going to want isolations. And you know, he can get you plenty of points that way. But if he's limited, I think it simplifies things maybe in a positive way for the Warriors, who have reason to just trust Curry to go crazy again. I mean, the Raptors couldn't stop him last night. What are they going to change that would work? 3 guys on him from now on?
I'm curious. If Toronto goes ahead and wins this thing, Does that change Kevin Durant's thought process? Does he leave or does he come back and try to get the group all together again to win again? Or is it a foregone conclusion, win, lose, or draw, he's gone?
You know, my gut has been all year that he's gone regardless. But and you never know because there's so many conflicting reports. But there was recently an indication that if the Warriors didn't win this championship, that it would kind of tip the scales a little bit back towards him staying, which I guess you could understand. You could view it as unfinished business. You could view it as sort of, you know, justifying this idea that he is necessary if they don't pull this out, which I think he kind of needs to feel. But I would say he's probably gone, but certainly a loss would make it more likely that he comes back. I don't know what the percentage on it would be. Small still, probably.
Boy, if I'm Klay Thompson's agent, I'm just smiling because he is so valuable to that team, and it's negotiating time. And boy, just y'all come to me. They need Golden State needs Klay Thompson. There's no question.
Right, and well, it's been this great myth about the Warriors forever that they've got shooting up and down the roster, and they just never have. Ooh. It's been they've got a couple of three phenomenal shooters, and that creates the illusion that they've got all this shooting, but. Yeah, you saw it. With Thompson out, look at the guys that are out there. I mean, nobody other than Curry and maybe Quinn Cook, who I think was one of the only bench guys who really showed up ready to go.
Yes.
Other than those guys, there's just no shooting. And so Thompson is doubly valuable because he fills a need that is really obvious when he's not there.
No question. Grant Hughes, Bleacher Report. The NBA draft is 2 weeks from today. David Griffin of the Pelicans is listening to offers. How many offers do you think he's getting for Anthony Davis?
You know, there's those core groups, right, that you're sure he's talking to, the Lakers, mm-hmm. the Celtics, but if I'm the Sixers, I'm saying you want Ben Simmons. If I'm in a bunch of filler, if I'm, you know, the Clippers, I'm seeing if we can trade for him and, you know, sign other guys with our money. I think any team with any reasonable chance to re-sign him, has to be involved. And I think, too, look, just imagine the Raptors. They, you know, say they lose Leonard, say Marcus Gasol opts out. You know the Raptors are fine gambling on a one-year rental, and you know that they just saw it work out really well. So I don't think there's any limit to how ambitious and how many teams should be going after him.
What if Kevin Durant what stopped the Golden State Warriors from saying, hey, AD, we got plenty of money. Come on.
I mean, look.
Seriously, if he wants to win.
You can never rule anything out with them. I think their ownership group is among the most, I said ambitious already, but they're on another level of ambition. I'm sure that they have thought about it and talked about it and have, you know, like a plan C in place if plans A and B don't work. I wouldn't rule them out. It's really tough for them money-wise, obviously. Maybe impossible, but I'm sure that they put in a call. Or they will.
Wouldn't that be something? Holy cow. All right, so game four is vital. Warriors can't win without Klay Thompson. They can't win.
I think you're right.
I think with Klay Thompson and Kevin Durant, I think they can close this thing out sooner than later. I don't know if it goes seven games, if both of them are there, even if they're not 100%. But, man, that was a game Toronto had to have. And I love the way Kyle Lowry played and Van Fleet. That just goes to show you know, you get a superstar, but you got to have a smart front office that can pick these gems out of the draft. Van Fleet wasn't even a draft pick. He was free agent. And they got him. And look how far they've come.
Yeah, you know, it is. You know, the Raptors all year were kind of two different teams. You know, they'd isolate Leonard, and when he didn't play, the ball hopped all over the place, and they were totally different. And they really came together in these playoffs where Leonard could get his, and everybody else was empowered to chip in. And I think, as much as anything, that sort of unification of what was really two different styles and two different teams most of the year, that's what's really got Toronto to another level right now. And you know, they managed to get the most out of everybody, and it took them a while, but you're really seeing it pay off now.
Interesting stuff. All right, we'll keep in touch, and we'll see what happens for Game 4. Game 3, as we said, had to be a win for Toronto. Game 4, I think, has got to be a win by Golden State. Grant Hughes, great writer, must-read material. for Bleacher Report, and we thank you for your time as always, my friend. Greatly appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, buddy. You take care. That's going to wrap that up. That brought to you by DC's Little Capital Exxon, I-10 at the Henderson-Cecilia exit in Bro Bridge. Everything for your travel needs, whether you're going short distance, long distance, here, there, everywhere. That True Soul Food Deli tucked away in the corner. Boy, they got a great cheeseburger and so much more. It's must-see material. Go stop at DC's Little Capital Exxon, I-10 at the Henderson-Cecilia exit in Bro Bridge. On this day in sports history, some birthday wishes next. Welcome back. Finishing touches to this Thursday edition of the Jordy Helfrich Show. Fun show it was with Ken Trahan talking about the newest members of the New Orleans Saints Hall of Fame. Yes, indeed. Nick Latz with the Boston Celtics on the possibility of the Anthony Davis to the Celtics trade. I think, you know, with the draft coming up on the 20th of this month, I think something's going to happen sooner rather than later. And then Grant Hughes recapping Game 3 and looking ahead to Game 4 of the NBA Finals. On tomorrow's show, we will dive deeper into the Super Regional. Hopefully all this bad weather will get through, and we'll be able to play baseball Saturday starting at 2 p.m. Of course, all the games in the Baton Rouge Super Regional between LSU and Florida State will be right here on 103.7 The Game, your source for LSU sports. Yes, indeed. All right, let's do our daily history lesson, because it was back on this day, June the 6th. The year was 2015. It had been a long time since we had a Triple Crown winner. But on this day, American Pharoah ended that 37-year drought by winning the Belmont Stakes in New York and thus winning the Triple Crown. Everybody was pulling for them. Many, many came close, but American Pharoah broke through the barrier and got that Triple Crown, which was great for thoroughbred horse racing. On this day, June 6th, the year 2015. If today is your birthday, man, I hope June 6th is a great one. Despite the flooded streets and all that, hey, happy birthday from all of us at Delta Media, KLWB, 103.7 The Game, to all of you. You share your birthday with a pretty darn good wide receiver by the name of DeAndre Hopkins, who turns 26 years old today. If it's your anniversary, happy, happy anniversary from all of us to all of you. And we hope you keep adding year after year after year to it. Today was it's a special day. 75 years ago today was D-Day, the Normandy invasion. And you may have someone in your family, a relative, maybe still around or may not be here, who participated in that. They opened up those boats and they walked into hell. And they fought not for anything other than the freedom that we have here and now today. If you see someone who's been in the military and gave of his services so that we could live the life that we live today, tell them thank you. Tell them we appreciate what you do for us. Because they do an awful lot unselfishly for us to have the life that we live so that we can do the things that we love to do. So to all of you in the military, thank you from the bottom of my heart for helping us be the country that we are and having the freedom that we have each and every day. 75 years ago, if you haven't been to the World War II Museum in New Orleans, you owe yourself a vacation day. Take the family. Go see it. It is remarkable. It truly is remarkable. So, again, thank you. 75 years ago today, D-Day, the Normandy invasion. CD, thank you for all you do each and every day. A terrific, terrific producer. He really is. Thanks to our guests. Thanks to all of you for listening. Thanks to our partners that make it possible each and every day. Come on back tomorrow, same time, 2 to 4 p.m., same great station. 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com. We are Acadiana's number one sports station, your source for LSU sports and the Houston Astros. Until tomorrow, I'm Jordy Helfberg. Stay thirsty, my friends. Stay thirsty.